Вариант 10.
Сейчас вы будете выполнять задание по аудированию. Каждый текст прозвучит два раза. После первого и второго прослушивания у вас будет время для выполнения и проверки заданий. Все паузы включены в аудиозапись. Остановка и повторное воспроизведение аудиозаписи не предусмотрены. По окончании выполнения всего раздела «Аудирование» перенесите свои ответы в бланк ответов номер один. Задание 1. Вы услышите 6 высказываний. Установите соответствие между высказываниями каждого говорящего «AF» и утверждениями, данными в списке 1-7. Используйте каждое утверждение, обозначенное соответствующей цифрой, только один раз. В задании есть одно лишнее утверждение. Вы услышите запись дважды. Занесите свои ответы в таблицу. У вас есть 20 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданием.
Now we are ready to start. Speaker A.
My room is my den. The blue walls make me think of the calming, vast seas and dreams that have no boundaries. The shutters are white, which reminds me of the pure white clouds in the sky. The white in my room helps me to have pure and clean thoughts. My chair and my favorite seat are the color of crisp green celery. Here I shed the pressure of rush hours and deadlines. The colors and decor were chosen for deep thoughts, recreation, and positive thinking. When I leave that room, I am calm and prepared for life's uncertainties.
Speaker B.
When I was an early teenager, my room was light purple with a dark blue ceiling full of stars. Once I got into high school and the paint was getting a bit old, I put up lots of posters on the walls. I'm a huge Rolling Stones fan, so I had almost every poster of theirs, and posters from Pirates of the Caribbean and Batman too. I love posters, because you can move them around a lot, and it's a great form of self-expression. In the blank spots, I write my favourite lyrics in permanent marker, and I use Christmas lights instead of the harsh light from the ceiling bulbs.
Speaker C.
I keep my room with simple and relaxing colours, such as soft pink and beige. I also add some bright colors like red cushions or some colorful accessories to make the interior a bit brighter. It's nice because my room gets a lot of sun. Well, I don't have lots of furniture in it. I usually try to keep everything in order. My room is filled with different items that I bought in the countries I visited. Most of them remind me of Turkey and Spain. Sometimes I make collages with holiday photos. It looks quite nice on my wall.
Speaker D.
I'm 13 years old and I have to share a room with my 8-year-old sister. When I'm studying for exams, it's not easy at all. My elder sister, who is 15, has her own room with her private bathroom and it's bigger than mine. I don't like sharing a room at all. I don't think that I have any privacy in anything I do. Whenever my friends are over, my sister is always in here because she says it's her room too. It's so annoying. I get angry with her all the time because she rarely tidies the room.
Speaker E.
I love lots of things about my room. The colours are blue and brown with a punch of red. My bed is big and cosy with a soft chenille duvet and lots of pillows. I have lots of books in my room, and I feel pride in them. But my favourite thing in the room is a fake tree with small white lights. It adds romance and cosiness, and can even be used as a nightlight. I have a nice room, and it's always tidy. I suppose I like showing off my room. When my friends come over, they usually say, "Wow, how beautiful it is."
Speaker F.
My sister's room is always neat. Everything has a place. Nothing is on the floor. All her books are in the alphabetical order. It clearly shows how organized she is. She likes everything to be perfect. As for me, My desk is messy and drowning in paper, as I am a completely disorganized sort of person. However, the bookshelf next to my desk is relatively tidy in comparison to the desk. Maybe this indicates that I value education. The posters of video games and magicians like David Copperfield on my wall will tell you that I like playing video games and magic.
You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now, you will hear the texts again. Speaker A.
My room is my den. The blue walls make me think of the calming, vast seas and dreams that have no boundaries. The shutters are white, which reminds me of the pure white clouds in the sky. The white in my room helps me to have pure and clean thoughts. My chair and my favorite seat are the color of crisp green celery. Here I shed the pressure of rush hours and deadlines. The colors and decor were chosen for deep thoughts, recreation, and positive thinking. When I leave that room, I'm calm and prepared for life's uncertainties.
Speaker B.
When I was an early teenager, my room was light purple with a dark blue ceiling full of stars. Once I got into high school and the paint was getting a bit old, I put up lots of posters on the walls. I'm a huge Rolling Stones fan, so I had almost every poster of theirs, and posters from Pirates of the Caribbean and Batman too. I love posters because you can move them around a lot, and it's a great form of self-expression. In the blank spots, I wrote my favourite lyrics in permanent marker, and I use Christmas lights instead of the harsh light from the ceiling bulbs.
Speaker C.
I keep my room with simple and relaxing colours, such as soft pink and beige. I also add some bright colours like red cushions or some colourful accessories to make the interior a bit brighter. It's nice because my room gets a lot of sun. Well, I don't have lots of furniture in it. I usually try to keep everything in order. My room is filled with different items that I bought in the countries I visited. Most of them remind me of Turkey and Spain. Sometimes I make collages with holiday photos. It looks quite nice on my wall.
Speaker D.
I'm 13 years old and I have to share a room with my 8-year-old sister. When I'm studying for exams, it's not easy at all. My elder sister, who is 15, has her own room with her private bathroom and it's bigger than mine. I don't like sharing a room at all. I don't think that I have any privacy in anything I do. Whenever my friends are over, my sister is always in here because she says it's her room too. It's so annoying. I get angry with her all the time because she rarely tidies the room.
Speaker E.
I love lots of things about my room. The colours are blue and brown with a punch of red. My bed is big and cosy with a soft chenille duvet and lots of pillows. I have lots of books in my room and I feel pride in them. But my favourite thing in the room is a fake tree with small white lights. It adds romance and cosiness, and can even be used as a nightlight. I have a nice room, and it's always tidy. I suppose I like showing off my room. When my friends come over, they usually say, "Wow, how beautiful it is."
Speaker F.
My sister's room is always neat. Everything has a place. Nothing is on the floor. All her books are in the alphabetical order. It clearly shows how organised she is. She likes everything to be perfect. As for me, my desk is messy and drowning in paper, as I am a completely disorganised sort of person. However, the bookshelf next to my desk is relatively tidy in comparison to the desk. Maybe this indicates that I value education. The posters of video games and magicians like David Copperfield on my wall will tell you that I like playing video games and magic.
This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers.
Задание 2. Вы услышите диалог. Определите, Какие из приведенных утверждений AG соответствуют содержанию текста? 1. True. Какие не соответствуют? 2. False. И о чем в тексте не сказано? То есть на основании текста нельзя дать ни положительного, ни отрицательного ответа. 3. Not stated. Занесите номер выбранного вами варианта ответа в таблицу. Вы услышите запись дважды. У вас есть 20 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданиями.
Now we are ready to start.
Mike, have you heard that computer scientists at Cambridge University have come up with a way to make mobile phones work more intuitively in the future?
Really? How will they manage to do it?
They've been trying to figure out what people do with their phones, because if you want to make better phones, then you need to know what people do with them now.
Don't we already know that?
Well, this is not really well known because handset manufacturers don't publish this data. And also, these studies are usually conducted on a relatively small scale. Mobile operators know what calls you make, but they don't know what happens offline. For example, which applications you use, or when you charge your phone.
I get it. It's a really difficult task. How are they planning to obtain this information?
They've created an application for smartphones, and it's called Device Analyzer. It runs in the background while you use your phone, and it collects statistics on what you do.
Fantastic. And what exactly is it monitoring?
It is basically monitoring anything you could think of. For example, it spots when you charge your phone or when you open an application.
Suppose they've collected all the data, and this information goes into the central database at the university. What are they going to do with it?
So first, what's important is that scientists strip personally identifying information from this. And then they can find out certain patterns that will allow them to improve the work of a mobile phone.
Will this information be released in the public domain?
Why not? If there's no personal information, it can be used by other researchers too.
Dan, how did you get to know about this research? And can people get the application if they want to participate in the research?
The project was launched 2 weeks ago, and the application is available for free download on the university website right now. It works on any smartphone, and you can just download it, and it will sit quietly in the background. I've already downloaded a copy for myself.
That's great. I also want to take part in the research. Maybe I'll get a discount on a new mobile phone.
You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now, you will hear the text again.
Mike, have you heard that computer scientists at Cambridge University have come up with a way to make mobile phones work more intuitively in the future?
Really? How will they manage to do it?
They've been trying to figure out what people do with their phones, because if you want to make better phones, then you need to know what people do with them now.
Don't we already know that?
Well, this is not really well known because handset manufacturers don't publish this data. And also, these studies are usually conducted on a relatively small scale. Mobile operators know what calls you make, but they don't know what happens offline. For example, which applications you use or when you charge your phone.
I get it. It's a really difficult task. How are they planning to obtain this information?
They've created an application for smartphones, and it's called Device Analyzer. It runs in the background while you use your phone, and it collects statistics on what you do.
Fantastic. And what exactly is it monitoring?
It is basically monitoring anything you could think of. For example, it spots when you charge your phone or when you open an application.
Suppose they've collected all the data, and this information goes into the central database at the university. What are they going to do with it?
So first, what's important is that scientists strip personally identifying information from this. And then they can find out certain patterns that will allow them to improve the work of a mobile phone.
Will this information be released in the public domain?
Why not? If there's no personal information, it can be used by other researchers too.
Dan, how did you get to know about this research? And can people get the application if they want to participate in the research?
The project was launched 2 weeks ago, and the application is available for free download on the university website right now. It works on any smartphone, and you can just download it, and it will sit quietly in the background. I've already downloaded a copy for myself.
That's great. I also want to take part in the research. Maybe I'll get a discount on a new mobile phone.
This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers.
Задание 3.9. Вы услышите интервью с комедийным актером Джеффом Грином. В заданиях 3.9 запишите в поле ответа цифру 1, 2 или 3, соответствующую выбранному вами варианту ответа. Вы услышите запись дважды. У вас есть 50 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданиями.
Now we are ready to start.
Mr. Green, it's a great pleasure to talk to you today. Have you always been a comedian?
Well, do you know that most comedians are the youngest in the family, and most are from dysfunctional families? And I tick both of those boxes. My parents were married 3 times each. The thing is that most comedians are a little bit anxious, because if you try to find something funny, it's usually an itch you're trying to scratch. Relaxed people generally don't need to be the life and soul of the party. It's nervous people who always try to prove themselves, and God bless them, because they are very funny and make good stand-up comedy. So, you know, I just came into this.
How did that happen? Did you just start doing acts, using a lot of relationships as jokes?
Well, I started in the UK around 1988. No one really talked about relationships at that time. About 50% of the audience were women, but they weren't being talked to or talked about. And I just made one joke about my girlfriend, and it took off from there. That was when I was in my 20s, when I still found women fascinating and mysterious. I'm over it now.
Do you enjoy meeting other comedians?
Do I enjoy it? Yeah, I do. It can sometimes be a little bizarre, but you know, I love being around them. In this job, you've got to like your own company, because you're on your own a lot. You've got to like being on your own, and you've got to like being on the road. If sitting in a hotel room for 3 days isn't your thing, then it's not for you. That's my whole life. I've sat in hotels and gone to different towns, and you know, been away from home.
How much of a year do you spend travelling?
Well, I used to travel in the UK, but England's so small that I could always get home at night. Australia is huge, so I probably do less gigs, but I'm away from home more. Because I'd have to be in Brisbane for 5 days, and then I'd have to be in Sydney for 5 days. I reckon I'm probably away 5 weeks of the year, condensed out, but that's probably away once 5 or 6 days out of every 3 weeks. It doesn't seem much, but when you've got 2 small children, you count every one of those days, and my wife does. But I love it.
Do you do gigs all over the world?
I'm quite a regional comedian, in as much as being English. I tend to work best in England. I've performed to Americans here in Singapore and in London, but I've never been to the USA. But I've performed in New Zealand, Hong Kong, Australia, obviously, and lots of gigs in Europe, where you're performing to Europeans, not in their first language. You have to speak a little bit more slowly, and you can't speak in dialect. You should be respectful to the people who've paid good money to come to see you.
Is the material the same?
The material's okay. Well, those about relationships are generally universal. I used to change some things, references such as Tesco to Coles or Marks and Spencer to some local brand, but the actual audience don't want you to change the words. They'd rather you took the time to explain what the joke was in England rather than try to fool them into thinking that you're talking about their environment. If you explain them succinctly and there's a funny payoff, it's worth doing it.
What do you do before going on stage? Do you have a ritual of any sort?
I do a lot of visualization before shows. All I do is I put myself on stage before I go on, so I'm actually mentally on stage. The first few moments are of me catching up with the atmosphere and the audience, so that when you actually go on stage, you're actually firing off something. I think most people are naturally slow starters, because you can't just walk into a room full of strangers and be friends with everybody. But in stand-up comedy, you're expected to be. That's your job.
You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now, you will hear the text again.
Mr. Green, it's a great pleasure to talk to you today. Have you always been a comedian?
Well, do you know that most comedians are the youngest in the family, and most are from dysfunctional families, and I tick both of those boxes. My parents were married 3 times each. The thing is that most comedians are a little bit anxious, because if you try to find something funny, it's usually an itch you're trying to scratch. Relaxed people generally don't need to be the life and soul of the party. It's nervous people who always try to prove themselves, and God bless them, because they are very funny and make good stand-up comedy. So, you know, I just came into this.
How did that happen? Did you just start doing acts, using a lot of relationships as jokes?
Well, I started in the UK around 1988. No one really talked about relationships at that time. About 50% of the audience were women, but they weren't being talked to or talked about. And I just made one joke about my girlfriend, and it took off from there. That was when I was in my 20s, when I still found women fascinating and mysterious. I'm over it now.
Do you enjoy meeting other comedians?
Do I enjoy it? Yeah, I do. It can sometimes be a little bizarre, but you know, I love being around them. In this job, you've got to like your own company, because you're on your own a lot. You've got to like being on your own, and you've got to like being on the road. If sitting in a hotel room for 3 days isn't your thing, then it's not for you. That's my whole life. I've sat in hotels and gone to different towns, and you know, been away from home.
How much of a year do you spend travelling?
Well, I used to travel in the UK, but England's so small that I could always get home at night. Australia is huge, so I probably do less gigs, but I'm away from home more. Because I'd have to be in Brisbane for 5 days, and then I'd have to be in Sydney for 5 days. I reckon I'm probably away 5 weeks of the year, condensed out, but that's probably away once 5 or 6 days out of every 3 weeks. It doesn't seem much, but when you've got 2 small children, you count every one of those days, and my wife does. But I love it.
Do you do gigs all over the world?
I'm quite a regional comedian, in as much as being English. I tend to work best in England. I've performed to Americans here in Singapore and in London, but I've never been to the USA. But I've performed in New Zealand, Hong Kong, Australia, obviously, and lots of gigs in Europe, where you're performing to Europeans, not in their first language. You have to speak a little bit more slowly, and you can't speak in dialect. You should be respectful to the people who've paid good money to come to see you.
Is the material the same?
The material's okay. Well, those about relationships are generally universal. I used to change some things, references such as Tesco to Coles or Marks and Spencer to some local brand, but the actual audience don't want you to change the words. They'd rather you took the time to explain what the joke was in England rather than try to fool them into thinking that you're talking about their environment. If you explain them succinctly and there's a funny payoff, it's worth doing it.
What do you do before going on stage? Do you have a ritual of any sort?
I do a lot of visualization before shows. All I do is I put myself on stage before I go on, so I'm actually mentally on stage. The first few moments are of me catching up with the atmosphere and the audience, so that when you actually go on stage, you're actually firing off something. I think most people are naturally slow starters, because you can't just walk into a room full of strangers and be friends with everybody. But in stand-up comedy, you're expected to be. That's your job.
This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers. This is the end of the listening test.
Время, отведенное на выполнение заданий, истекло.